This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, a podcast that's all about the experiences we have in our theaters, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, all of it. And this week, I wasn't expecting to be doing the podcast. I told everybody last week I was going to take the week off, and guess what? Here I am. Because I also said last week, I love sitting down to talk to you guys. I love sitting down to talk about what I did in my theater. And this week, I'm kind of shortcutting it a little bit because I wasn't going to do one, but John and I had such a great conversation the other night with the Suicide Squad, or I should say about the Suicide Squad, James Gunn's Suicide Squad, on HBO Max and in theaters now. We had such a great conversation. I'm going to give that to you. I'm going to edit it down from my comic book podcast. I'll take out all the comic book talk, and what you're just getting that, you'll get that in 2 seconds. But before that, I just want to let you know what's coming after that as well. By the way, my name is DJ, host of the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, and you'll hear John. He's my co-host over on Brightside Chat, and we talk comics over there. But anyways, after that, after you hear our conversation, and we go spoiler-free at the beginning, and then you'll hear us say, oh, is the door locked? And we'll let you know that we're talking spoilers. So it's a good portion of it is spoiler-free. Then we talk spoilers about the movie and everything. And we don't really give a home theater breakdown of it. We talk a little bit about what we think of about going back into the theaters, what it's like at our homes and stuff like that. But after all of that, I'll let you guys know what I did in my theater because I got a little tweaks I needed to do to hear this properly on HBO Max. So we'll do that. A few listener comments. It's going to be a quick one this week. So, hey, let's get right to that conversation right now. Spoiler free to start. We're going to wrap the show up with Kryptonite with the spoiler talk. But, The Suicide Squad, John.
Not to be confused with Suicide Squad. The movie of the almost same name by David Ayer from 5 years ago.
Right. So
with half of the same cast.
Well, maybe
a third of the same cast.
Yeah, no spoilers, but yeah. What did you think?
I loved it.
You did?
I did.
You loved it more than obviously you liked the other one?
Yes.
Okay.
And I thought it was super fun. It you know, we'll get into it later. Like you said, it has the issues. Like, it's not perfect by any means, but
right.
I just really had a great time watching it. I thought it was super fun. So
now I forget what you thought of the first one.
I mean, it was fair, I guess. Like, I definitely didn't hate it, but I didn't think it was great either.
So we don't typically do a bunch of rankings around here as like 1 through 10, but if where these two movies, what would you give, how would you rank them each 1 through 10? Like the Suicide Squad, you'd give the newest one seven or eight?
Yeah, 7.5-ish maybe, and maybe like a 4 to 5 on the first one.
Okay. I myself, I'm a little closer to, what's funny is when I was first done watching The Suicide Squad, I was like, I don't know. I got to watch the other one again. And then I did, because I thought they were pretty close. And I'm going to give it a 6. I'm going to give Suicide Squad, the first one, I'm going to give that a 6 because I do enjoy it. Okay.
Okay.
And I'm going to do about the same for this one, The Suicide Squad, about a 7.5. A little bit higher.
Okay. I just think they're a little bit closer.
I just think they're a little bit closer, and we'll get into it in spoilers. I got a little something like a little something we could talk about too, but I thought The Suicide Squad, I thought the story was pretty good. One thing I will say in going through, and this is one of the things I wanted to talk about, is I thought the character development was slightly better.
Yeah.
You felt more for the characters in this one than you did in the first one.
You did. And I just found myself laughing out loud a lot.
Yes.
Like, I just had a good time. Like, again, it's got problems. You know, like, it's far from a perfect movie, and it is not Guardians of the Galaxy. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
it's just not that good, but it just was fun. Like I said, I just had a good time with it. So, I haven't watched the other one in a while. I didn't go back and rewatch it. But just from my memory, that's kind of where where I would place it.
Yeah, I didn't watch the extended version. I have that. I have the extended, I have the theatrical, I have it in 4K. I just watched the theatrical version, and I thought that was fun as well. I mean, I get what people are saying, and then, I mean, there was a difference. There was a moment there where I was like, is the first one maybe a little better? I don't know. And then I watched the first one again, and I was like, all right, there's some things that I do like better about the Suicide Squad. But
I just felt like you mentioned, I felt like I cared a lot more about most of the characters in this one than I did the first time around. So,
and that's what was really evident to me watching the first one again and being like, this just doesn't, I'm like, I'm having a good time. Don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed the movie. It was talking about the first one, that is. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? Why? I don't get it. They didn't really do much to advance anything. And I do get the plot holes of the first one. Not plot holes, but the issues where it is kind of weird. Like, why is the Joker even in that story? Why is this?
Right.
So there was just so much more that could have been delivered in that one. So that kind of leaves you with, this is weird. So that's what,
right.
But by the end of the movie, I had fun. There was some laughs in that one. There was some good action. There was some things went boom. I had a good time with it. But I think that the Suicide Squad actually has a more cohesive story from beginning to end and good character development. And makes you actually, you know, by the end of it, you're feeling for certain people, you want things to work out the certain way. And we'll get more into all of that in spoilers, but, lots to talk about there, but,
yeah,
I thought it was really good. Now, did you see it at home and the theater or just,
I only saw it at home. Actually, I did not go to the theaters
to
watch
it. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to go, but, you know, it opened Thursday night here, of course, but we had plans already to go out to dinner Friday night, and then we were going out Sunday for my daughter's birthday, and I was like, hey, you know, I just don't want to go out again.
Right.
You know? Spend money on dinner, spend money on the movie, and then, you know, we're going to dinner Friday, we're going to dinner Sunday. So I was like, you know, let's just stay home and watch it. And, you know, again, I cranked it up to reference level and had Lydia sit through it, and we watched it. And it was, you know.
I like how you had her sit through it like that.
Well, because it was a little bit louder than she would have preferred. But,
right.
But I wanted to get, I was like, if we're staying home, I at least want to get the
fullest
experience that I can get from home. So
right.
And I was able to pause it somewhere in the middle and get up and go pee, so that that helped too. So.
Oh, they don't do that for you at your local Cineplex?
They don't, no. I'm trying.
Don't they know who you are?
That's what I say too. It's like, I'm the comic store guy, man.
Right, I'm right over there. You can't miss
Come
me.
Come on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've kind of. This is sad to say, John, but this I'm done. I'm done going.
Yeah,
did
you watch
theaters.
It at home?
Yep. I didn't go to the theater. I didn't want to go to the theater because after my Black Widow experience, I'm like, I had like a come to Jesus moment. Like the only reason I'm going to the theater, the only thing the theaters can offer me is the fun of being in a big crowd watching a movie. And when you go to the theater, there's nobody there. I'm like, it's like being in my house.
Yeah, there weren't big crowds for this. Unfortunately, it didn't do well theatrically, which we can talk about more later too. And obviously HBO Max had something to do with that. But yeah, I was hearing, you know, people talking about going on opening night with, you know, like, you know, four or five people in the theater. So yeah, yeah, I mean, you can get five, you can get four people in your theater at home.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm like, I could make mine packed like that and just be right. Like, wee, throw popcorn in the air and have fun.
Exactly.
If I'm just going to sit in a room relatively by myself, I might as well do it with better picture and sound than right. what my local place is. And I'm like, I just really, and for me to get even close to what I have in my room, I have to drive an hour into Boston and go to, like, you know, yeah. Dolby Cinema. And I'm like, why would I do? And then again, yeah. that's, it's a drive. It's more money. It's, and you're still not going to have a ton of people.
I do the Dolby Cinemas when we go out. And like I said, yeah. we mentioned it at Black Widow. Like, I can't quite replicate what I'll get in the theater in my house. You know, it's, right. it's not quite as good. Like, your setup is definitely better than mine.
It's a dedicated room. Yours is right. literally a living room. Thing. And yours it's is a living fantastic room. For a living room.
But it's just the sound doesn't resonate the same as it does for you.
Right.
You know, I don't have... You know, I've got a 75-inch screen as opposed to 110. So I can't get quite the same, but it was – I mean, it's still pretty good.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So. It's not like you're just watching it on your TV through the speakers. So, I mean, right. it is a big difference in what – that's the thing. It's like – I mean, I feel bad for the – I do. I still feel bad for the theaters, but they got to bring something. And in a way – is it possible that we're doing a favor to the theaters by not going? Because now the studios aren't getting that money, and eventually they will cut off the outlet for us, and you'll have to go back to the theaters?
There was a news story that I saw that I didn't actually add to the news, but apparently Warner Brothers and AMC struck a new bargain starting next year where they're going to have 45-day release windows between streaming and theatrical release. So they're actually going to go back. Now, that's less than it used to be, but it's more than it is now. So
yeah, it's a month and a half. Month and
so
a half.
So 45 days exclusive 30, they're giving.
3 months.
They're giving the theaters. Now, that's just Warner Brothers and AMC, so it's not speaking for all the studios in chains. But,
right.
you know, kind of where one goes – the rest seem to follow. So I think, although again, who knows, we're on Delta, Epsilon, whatever right. variant we're on now. So even next year may not be back to normal, but I think 2022, they're targeting, you know, being back to strictly theatrical releases and stuff. And so then we'll have to go, you know.
Well, I think we are, honestly, I think we're over the hump with the yeah. virus, because even if, I mean, they keep saying, like, we've got to do this, we've got to do this, or it's never, no, they all go away eventually. They right. we get to herd immunity, whether you vaccine up or not, or whatever, because eventually everybody's either had it or not had it. So it they all go away. They survive it one more. The human race survives it, whether you do or not. That's your personal choice and up to you and all that. But right, eventually right. you come back on the other side and everybody's either had it, is vaccinated or whatever. It's going to happen. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah. But like I said, hopefully going into 2022, which is, you know, just 4 months from now, it's not even that far away.
I know.
You know, we'll be back to.
I sent you that.
I think even this, like Dune, I believe, which comes out in November, has been taken off of the HBO Max release schedule, and it is going to be now purely theatrical.
That's awesome.
So, I think that's the step in the right. Well, it's a step in the direction of getting us back into the theaters again,
right? Because
honestly, if they kept things going the way they're going now, I'm kind of with you. Like, I might not.
Why would I go back? I mean, I would go back if everything, all of a sudden, like if they did this and then all of a sudden, I mean, people want to go back, but we have to get over all of this stuff. And, you know, it's going to take a little while, like you said. But I would go back because I do like those crowds. I like watching a movie on opening night with a packed theater. You know, that's fun.
It is.
But this stuff.
Yeah, because people get up and they cheer. Like, you know, you see the Endgame reaction videos online, and you know, that stuff is fun, you know.
Yeah.
But like you said, when you're sitting in a theater and you're the only one standing and clapping, then you can do that at home. Yeah. So
I remember Hudson Hawk. That's what it was like. Right. And nobody, I'm like, come on, everybody.
Nobody else stood up.
Where is everybody? Come on. all right. Let's get into the Suicide Squad and the spoilers. And where would you like to start? Slow down.
Don't get too attached to any character that you like.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Which we knew going into it, right? Like, you know, you had this lineup of like 30 characters that we knew were in the movie, and James Gunn had said for months, don't get too attached to too many people. But yeah, there's a huge bloodbath right at the very beginning of the movie.
Right at the, And, Boomerang. Not coming gone. Back, ironically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoops. We kind of should have seen that coming, because that seems like something like James Gunn would do, like Boomerang, right, not like coming
inside,
back.
Yeah, whoa. Inside joke right
yeah,
there.
Exactly.
But yeah, you know, you open with Team One that storms the beach, and pretty much all of them get decimated, except for Harley, which you knew she wasn't going to be dead, and Flag, you know. And then you meet Team Two, who is basically who you follow through the whole movie, which is the
that was fantastic. And when they find Flag, and they had wiped out her entire guerrilla group or whatever,
Teresa Mendoza's group. I was like, hey, that's Queen of the South.
Yeah, exactly. We didn't see them. And then Polka Dot Man's like, we killed them all.
Yeah. We didn't see any men out there. Yeah, that was great.
Fantastic. Because I even liked the way they delivered that line, because right away, like, you're like, wait a minute, they just killed everybody.
Right.
And I figured it out before they announced it, but then they were
me too, but only just before, like only as they were saying it.
Right. And then you're like,
once they open up on the two of them at the table laughing and talking together, you're like, uh-oh, what happened here? So yeah, basically they killed all the freedom fighters.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh yeah, I'm here with their freedom fighters. No, you're not.
Yeah. Wait a minute. How'd you get in? Where was all the men? We didn't see any men.
That Polka Dot Man just can't help himself.
Yeah.
He's just like, we just killed everybody.
But to see, and I like that whole scene. That's what I liked about this movie, though, was like it was like ultra violent, right? Like it was definitely graphic, but it was just funny. Like, I don't know. Like, there was just so many moments that were just delivered really well. I don't know. Like I said, it was just fun. You know, it was a lot of fun.
And I thought that, I mean, just talking about that scene there, but even like the heart that this movie had, like you felt more for even Peacemaker. You felt more for him.
He turned out to be awesome. A giant. Yeah, King Shark was the best. My favorite character actually was Ratcatcher 2.
And Sebastian.
Sebastian. Rat. Yeah. Yeah. They were great. You know, they were super great. Idris Elba was great. He always is. But his character was good. The whole thing with the rat phobia and all that was awesome.
Are you like me in that by the end of the movie, how violent the movie was, how much talk about a tangent, the scene at the beginning, what was the character's name? It's the opening scene and he uses the racket, the racquetball to kill the bird.
Oh yeah. Well,
what's his name?
What is his name? Michael Rooker.
Yeah. Michael Rooker, he gets killed, and then that same bird is the one, not the same bird, but the same species,
but the
of,
same
bird,
species of bird,
is now eating out of his like open skull.
Yeah,
and you're just like, awesome. That was so cool, because they opened that movie with him just killing the bird, and then he gets the blood on the racquetball, wipes it on his pants, and you're just like, that's just setting the tone, right?
Right.
So by the end of the movie, I was so afraid for Sebastian.
That
blood sport was just going to go and crunch him or something, but he doesn't.
Leg. Yeah, he doesn't.
Yeah, but I'm like, but that's what I liked about that, and that's one of those things that I want to go when I go back and watch it again. I feel like those are little things that I'll be like, see, that wasn't in the first one. You don't have that nice story arc beginning to the beginning where you open up with a character that just kills anything and for no reason, you know, no reason. There was no reason to kill that bird. And then now you have, you know, Bloodsport, who has progressed enough in them as a person and like actually is trying to like Sebastian, trying to accept him. And which I thought was the entire movie, which it was a relief too. At the end, you're like, I knew as soon as we met Sebastian, I'm like, oh, he's going to die. There's no doubt about it. And we're going to have, I'm going to probably bawl my eyes out. But I just thought that little thing right there, that bookend to the movie, it just, that's something that didn't happen with Suicide Squad.
With the first one.
With the first one.
Well, and this was the best Harley we've gotten, right? Between Birds of Prey and the first Suicide Squad,
I think
this was the best. I think it was the best version of her. Like that scene where she's like breaking out of the prison and like she's shooting the gun and like all the flowers are shooting behind her.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. To me, that was just like the most Harley she's ever been, you know, as far as like being true to the comics. And I guess the best Harley we've ever gotten is Kaley Cuoco on that show. But
true.
I mean, the best version of Margot Robbie being Harley, this movie, I think was like the best that she's been. And yeah, like King Shark was awesome.
King Shark was so
again, not as good as the animated King Shark.
That's what I was just going to say. I thought it was a great compromise between the two because when you think of it, it's funny you bring up Harley because I wanted to too because that's a rated R animated series.
Right.
Right. So you have some of the same things that they're able to speak the same way and say.
Right.
And the King Shark that's in the animated series, he's more of a, like, they're both dopey and lovable.
Right.
But I felt like the King Shark in the movie, he was just as dopey and lovable, but in a different way that played better as a live action, quote unquote, shark. Right.
Right.
Because I thought he was, I don't know. I loved how he like raised his hand and they're like, yes, that's your hand. Like he didn't have a question. He was like, hand.
Yeah. He's just like, well, and I love the whole, like, I'm going to go in disguise and I'm going to wear a mustache. And he's like putting his finger in front of his nose. it was great.
And
he was great.
I mean, it just shows the range of Sylvester Stallone too.
Right. I mean, classically trained actor, Sylvester Stallone. He's one of our giants.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a better role than Vin Diesel as Groot.
True.
I'm Groot.
But like I said, I thought Ratcatcher, I thought she was a great character. Even Polka Dot Man was great.
And he was
like,
awesome.
How stupid is that character? Like, how stupid is Polka Dot Man? You know what I mean? It's like, did you see the reason why, like, they, you know, obviously James Gunn is doing the press tour, you know, because of his movie. And they, you know, originally they wanted him for either Superman or Justice League. You know, when they approached him to come to Warners, they wanted him to do one of those movies. And the reason why he chose Suicide Squad specifically is he said, look, if I don't tell Superman's story, somebody else is going to come along and tell that story. He says, if I don't tell Polka Dot Man's story, like nobody else is ever going to tell Polka Dot Man's story. Right. So, and that's like, that's kind of the reason why he chose this movie. So he could pick these dopey, stupid characters and tell a good story with them because, like, there's nobody dumber than Polka Dot Man. But you liked the character. You know,
you felt
the
for
fact
the character.
That he saw like the
his
giant
mother.
Moms everywhere, like his mom, like on people's faces and stuff.
Even the starfish.
Yeah.
You're like the giant starfish, and you're like,
right. It's his mom.
It's his mom. And yeah. didn't Bloodsport say that? Like, that's yeah. your mom.
That's your mom.
It's like, yeah. Yeah, so, it's.
But he was great. He was fun. You know, everybody was good. You know, everybody was fun. I thought
it was fun, but rated R, dark,
yes.
and gross at times.
Yes,
like and like I said, enough to keep you on the edge of your seat. Like, what's going to happen next? And speaking of what's going to happen next, were you shocked when Flag got? Killed?
I didn't expect Flag to die. Yeah, I was definitely surprised. And I really expected, like, when we got the post-credit scene.
I thought it was him.
I thought it was him also. Now, I know why it was Peacemaker, because we're leading into the show.
Right.
I thought when they said, oh, they talked about his heart or something like that, I was like, oh, that's Flag, you know, and they're going to bring him back for whatever.
Right.
But then it turned out to be Peacemaker. And yeah, like you said, even Peacemaker... Even though he was a giant ball of turd, you know what I mean? You still, at the end of the day, like, want to watch his show. You know what
well,
I mean?
Well, that's the thing is, for him to be a giant ball of turd, as you so eloquently put it.
Well, because I couldn't say anything stronger.
Exactly.
But
for him to be that, they actually had to get you to that point where the reason he was a ball of turd is because he backstabbed the team.
Right.
But you felt for him, and you're like, he's actually a good guy. But at the same time, the entire movie up until then, you're like, why is he on the Suicide Squad? Because he's such a good guy. He's like, he's for Liberty. He's got a toilet seat on his head that says Liberty, you know? And that's what I meant earlier in when we were talking spoiler free, and I'm like, the character development of each and every character, including Harley. But when you're talking about Peacemaker, you're like, through that movie, you're like, why is he in jail? I get it. It's like, I mean, he was doing things for the right reason. Right. But then they showed you at the end. You're like, that's why he's on the Suicide Squad. Cause he's a dink.
Right.
And it's like,
and the thing is,
he literally, it's black and white to him. Like, nope.
Right.
You've got to do the right. This is what we were told to do. This is it. You're going to die. And he kills Flag.
Well, and then, like you said earlier, like, you can't feel betrayed by a character if you're not invested in the character.
Right.
So, I mean, they did a good job with all of that, you know? Because he was funny. Like, he was, again, I'm not a big John Cena fan necessarily.
I love John Cena. I think he's hysterical.
But I think the character had personality, like he was engaging. Because again, of all the characters in this movie, why is he getting a show? You know, like, why Peacemaker? Why isn't it like a Ratcatcher show or Polka Dot Man show or whatever? Why this guy?
Right.
But, you know, as you're watching the movie, you're like, you know, he's engaging and he's, you know, he's fun to watch, and he's kind of a jerk, so, you know, he's the anti-hero that you're gonna watch, you know. And at the end of the day, like, I'm looking forward to watching his show and seeing what happens and hoping some of these other people pop up in it, you know? Like,
yeah,
hopefully, like, maybe not Idris Elba or Harley, but maybe Polka Dot Man pops up, or maybe Ratcatcher pops up, you know.
What they did, and with, like you said, with Peacemaker, I do like John Cena. I like him a lot. I think in all of the roles, he's not, you know, he's not Tom Hanks as an actor, but but he'll do anything, and he's funny, and he'll make fun of himself. And I think that if they did a show that's, you know, released weekly, we'll eat that up. Right. Checking him out, it's, you know, it's not Tom Hiddleston type, but you'll definitely be looking forward to each week and see what dumb thing he does next or whatever happens. But where do they go with that story, though? Do they redeem him? Do they just go further down that road? What, I mean, there's, I don't know.
That's the whole thing. Like, who's he work? Now, apparently the two agents that show up at the end of the show have also been signed to his show. So the blonde and the other guy that are in the post-credit scene with him are part of the show. So is it like an offshoot of the Suicide? Like, what's he doing in the show? Like, that's the whole thing. It can't really be Suicide Squad because he's doesn't have the whole team.
Right.
So, but is he working like covertly for these two agents? Like, you don't necessarily know what he's going to be doing. So, be interested in this. And, you know, again, it's all written by James Gunn. So,
yeah,
who knows? But
what did you think of Amanda Waller?
Well, I thought she was just Amanda Waller. I mean, she's the same as she always is, right?
Yeah. Well, she in the first one, she was a dink in the first one.
Yeah.
You know, still the same here.
And she's still the same. She's the same in the comics. You know, she's ultimately like trying to save America or the world, but her methods are very questionable always.
Right.
So,
but I thought like Viola Davis, I think
she's great though.
She just brings such credibility to both movies.
Right.
You know, and what she does.
Right. It's kind of like if you have Morgan Freeman or somebody in a movie, exactly. It's like, oh, it's just a better movie because.
Yeah, you feel you know? Like it's like, imagine if you took her out of the first one.
I mean, that's kind of like what Sylvester Stallone does, you know, for this one. But
but if you took her out of the first one, you're like, because I really liked her in the first, like when she lights up the room and kills all those people. And then Flag, as they're walking out, Flag's like, hey, I'm not judging. He's like, I've buried some of my mistakes too, you know, and you're just like, oh, these guys, even Flag like that, you know, but
Waller, they're not role models by any means.
No.
And, but yeah, she's like, you know, they're like, would you really like arrest his daughter? And she's like, you have no idea what I'll do.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Because even her own team was kind of like, oh man, we're going way too far.
The one thing I didn't, now I don't want to say I didn't like, but there were a lot of similarities in story between the first one and the second one. And that's one that I had here. It's like how they dealt with Bloodsport and Deadshot.
Right.
And it was very much the same. Like they both, they leveraged their daughters. They, you know, Bloodsport was supposed to be the replacement because Will Smith didn't come back.
Right.
But it's like the fact that it was so dead on, you're like, did you have to do that? Now, that doesn't take away from the entertainment of the movie.
No.
But it is like there are some similarities, very much like King Shark, Killer Croc.
Right.
You know, Starfish and Chantress, they're both like mind manipulators. They're both supposed to be doing. You're like, could you try to have done something a little different here? Right. But it's that those are some of the Harley and Harley. She's in both.
Right. Right. Well, and then what'd you think of Starro? Like, that's where Lydia checked out. She's like, you know,
giant starfish?
At the end of the day, she's like, you know, I didn't like that movie. And I'm like, why? And she's like, the starfish, it was so stupid. And it's like, but that's a character. But
it is
a
character.
She doesn't know that.
Right.
She doesn't know that. You know what I mean? It's like, she's just like, oh, it's like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. You know, it's like this, this stupid giant starfish.
No.
But even when you, like, when I heard that Starro was going to be the villain, because even in the comics, it's a stupid character.
So, oh, yeah.
Like, when I heard that, oh, it's going to be Starro, I was kind of dubious on, you know, how it was going to play out. And, you know, it does look kind of silly.
It does, but it's also gross, too.
Yeah.
And the concept of it is crazy.
Right.
You know, which is from the comics. And that, you know, mind control, and he uses the little ones and...
It was just out of the comics.
Right.
You know, but.
But I thought, I mean, it was way grosser than the comics.
Yeah.
And I don't know a ton about him, but when I've seen him, he didn't look that bad. He didn't. Right. It was disgusting. The whole eyeball thing and Harley, I was like, oh, okay. And her going in and swimming around, that was weird. But
that was weird because I was like, well, what's in that eye?
Like, what is it?
But then the rats going in and just chewing up all the nerves.
Yeah.
Basically, all the brains.
Let me ask you this one, Mr. Let's put on our John hat here.
Uh oh.
Where did all those rats come from?
Yeah,
like many the planet, like
right.
It like the rats overran the city. Where were they?
A lot of rats.
Yeah, like the streets where were they? Flooded.
Corto Maltese, right? Is that yeah. where they were?
Yeah,
but I don't know. Like, if you gathered up all the rats in New York City, how many rats do you think there would be?
Probably not enough to fill an entire street like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But like, yeah, there
where
was a
are
lot
they
of
hiding?
There was it's a lot like, of rats there for sure.
Right. It was gross.
My whole thing was like, can they breathe underwater? Like I can't chew underwater. Like if I'm holding my breath, like I can't chew. So are rats like chew. Are they like amphibious or what? Like
yeah.
I don't know.
You could chew underwater. You can't. It's hard to swallow. But you can chew underwater. There's a lot you can do.
I guess.
I don't know. I just thought...
thinking, like, can they breathe underwater? Like, yeah. Aren't they drowning by now?
Yeah, so. Exactly. I just thought, well, like, when the city, like, flooded with rats, I'm like, where did they come from?
There were a lot of rats.
Yeah. But I liked the rats. You liked that whole idea, like, because you like Sebastian. You like, it's like Ant-Man. Like, you hate ants. Right. But then all of a sudden in the movie, you're like, oh, ants are so cool. But when you get home, one crawls on you. What do? You kill it.
They're like, oh, the rats are so cute. But
yeah,
rats are not cute.
Sebastian was.
Yeah.
He was adorable.
He was.
Got a little red, what was it, a little red saying. Vest or something?
But if you get home and that guy's in your house, you're not going to be waving at him.
No,
you
know they're big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, hi. Is that rat waving at me?
Is that rat waving at me?
Why? Yeah. Oh, that was really good. I think the reason he went with the giant starfish is because, like, I think he just wanted, you know, James Gunn's like, go big or go home.
He wanted to go with the most, like
Polka Dot Man. He wanted that extreme story. Right. And like, if I can make this a success, you know.
Well, and I think it wasn't supposed to take itself serious. Like, it was supposed to be stupid. You know, that's the whole thing. it's supposed to be like dumb, you know.
Well, it's Suicide
but fun.
Squad, yeah.
Yeah. And I just think he, like you said, he went for it, you know.
He
and
went for it, but
if you're
told
gonna
a
do
good
all that
story,
stuff,
too.
Right. Why not Starro? You know what I mean? If you're going to go that far with Polka Dot Man and all that stuff.
Right.
My biggest thing was like Starro's not really a Suicide Squad villain. You know, he's more a Justice League villain. So, like, I guess, like,
well,
who could they have pulled from? But
yeah,
I,
but
I
isn't Suicide
of, like,
Squad actually a Justice League villain as well? Like,
well,
they're,
and I can't think
actually
of, like,
somebody
an
that
iconic
was put to-
Suicide Squad villain. So I don't know who they would pick, but.
Right, but was
they are the villains, right? Like, so
they're the villains, and they were put together to handle like if the Justice League went rogue or something,
right?
So it's kind of fair, but I mean, it's all fair in the movies, anyways,
right?
But what did you think? What do you think of the outcome of the budget? What happened at the theaters? What happened to you know? Is Gunn going to get another shot?
I think this is not going to be a success overall. Like, it was the most. They said it was the second most viewed project on HBO Max. So
the
I don't
Justice
know.
League,
I guess,
right?
Or Zack or Snyder's, Wonder Woman? I'm not sure.
I think
I guess Justice
Zack
League would be number one.
Yeah, Zack Snyder's Justice League's number one.
So this was number two most viewed, but I don't know if that translated to new subscribers necessarily. And it didn't perform well in the theaters. So, but again, it's all COVID.
You've got to give it another shot,
You know, it's got the COVID asterisk next to it because, like, what might it have done if it, you know, if it wasn't for COVID? Because by all metrics, it's performing well. Like, most people seem to have liked it. I mean, there's some people that didn't like it, but
it
universally, it's gotten well. It's gotten good reviews, so I think people would have gone out to see it in the theaters. It's just, I don't know, does he want to do another one? Who even knows? Because now he's on to Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and then he's supposed to come back to DC and do whatever. I mean, he's doing Peacemaker, so...
Now, is Peacemaker a show or a movie?
It's a show.
Okay, cool.
It's like 8-episode show or something like that. I don't know if they want to go back to the Suicide Squad well again. I'm not really sure. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, ultimately, I don't think it's going to be financially successful for them, you know.
Right.
Probably won't lose money, but I mean, it's not going to be a big win for them.
Yeah, at the end of the day, they might make their money back, judging by the numbers they have now. How many of these movies get re-released when, you know, the pandemic's a distant memory? You know, like, go and see what you couldn't, you know, see it with a big crowd. Let's, you know, I do see that happening in a year or two.
Maybe, though, because then, like, have people seen it enough times that they are going to want to go back out to the theater and see it again?
You depends know, on how they market it. Like, experience it for the, you know, with the big group, the way it should be seen, blah, 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 whatever.
I'll watch it again. And you know, I say this, and I haven't rewatched Wonder Woman or Justice League. But I will rewatch this movie. Again
I will watch this
when when Lydia's one day when she's not here because she didn't like it enough that she wants to watch it again. But one day when I'm sitting here in the afternoon and I don't have anything to watch, I'll probably kick it back on and watch it again. Because I thought it was fun. You know, it had a lot of scenes that I liked. It was a pretty good home theater movie. When it comes
is
to
a really,
that. I mean,
I actually
the,
have
the
some
sound
notes
was
on
pretty
that.
Good. Yeah. Yep. So it was pretty good for that. So I'll crank it up again and watch it, you know, another time. I don't do that often. I don't know if that says it's a really great movie. I don't think it is, but it was entertaining enough.
2 hours
that I definitely
and 15
wanna,
minutes. It's a little bit long.
I definitely want to watch it again, you know.
Joe hasn't seen it yet, so I'm looking forward to watching it again with him.
Right.
But I would definitely watch it again. Obviously, I've watched Suicide Squad again, the first one. Right. So I watch it all the time. I enjoy
it. You, like I said, I'm not a big rewatcher.
I know you don't.
Like, I don't watch a lot of things multiple times too often. Unless it's Star Wars or something.
I tried doing Wonder Woman 84 again. Can't.
I don't know if I can.
Can't.
I kind of want to.
It's not very good.
Yeah.
I hate to say that because we enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Meg enjoyed it. We enjoyed it on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
But I think that was like the hype of Christmas Day.
I kind of wanted to watch it again because I didn't think it could be as bad as I thought it was.
I watched it again and I'm like, man, this just does not play well.
And then you just wonder where that went wrong because
I'm
going
to have to give it a little
same.
More time, but yeah.
Everybody's the same. Patty Jenkins is the same. Gal Gadot's the same.
Yeah.
Chris Pine's the same. And it's like, where did this one go wrong when the first one was so right? You know what I mean? If loving you was wrong, DJ,
I know.
Be right. But, you know, again, and I had a couple of issues with the first one at the end.
At the end,
But all in all, it was a great movie. But the second one, I don't know. I just don't think it was good. And
I get
how do you get the same people together and you can't – I guess it's hard to replicate. You can't always replicate something that's this good, but –
It's I'll have to listen to – like I did like it. I liked Wonder Woman even more after talking to Meg about it. And 84, that is. I liked it even more. So I'd have to probably – but when I just sit down to watch it, I'm just like, it's just not grabbing me. And the rewatchability just isn't there. And Justice League, I felt like the Snyder Cut – I love watching that over. The problem is it's 4 hours, so you can only do like segments at a time. And sometimes I'll be like, oh, let's watch. That's what I like about that. You can watch chapters if you want.
Right.
And they're, you know, 40
just
minutes.
Watch chapter one,
Yeah, bang out a chapter here and there. So you get some rewatchability there. And I'm sure that's helping HBO Max's numbers too, because much like on YouTube, it's like we get a view whether you watch our podcast for 5 minutes or the entire – this, you know, 2+ hours, we get a view. So I'm sure HBO Max is like, another view. They watch a chapter. So, all right. Anything else? Suicide Squad?
No, I don't think so. I think, like I said, it's fun. I definitely recommend it.
Of
course, if you're listening this far, you've probably already seen it anyways.
Right.
But,
excuse me. But yeah,
or you just don't care.
Or you don't care. You're on a long drive.
Right.
You're like, So that was John and I the other night talking The Suicide Squad. And I, like I said, I even said it in the conversation with John. I had a couple of tweaks that I did. So here they are. So I sat down, like I said in the podcast, like I said with John, I didn't go to the theater. I didn't want to go to the theater. Why bother? And I sat down to watch this on HBO Max, and I'm about 5 minutes into the movie, and it just didn't have the punch. So I upped the decibel level. I went to +5. And it had a little bit more punch to it. But I kept sitting there, and there was some nice bass scenes and stuff, and I didn't feel it the way I wanted to feel it. So from there, I went into on my Denon 6700, I think it is. I can't remember the numbers. I went into my Denon, and I adjusted the subwoofer level, and I upped that by 2 decibels. That was fantastic. I absolutely, it gave me that dynamic, you know, sound that I wanted to hear. Really nice bass, really brought up some vibrations in the seats. I got some punches in the chest. It really felt like I was listening to a disc. It felt really good. It sounded good. It felt really good bass wise. And like the highs, obviously by going a +5 over reference level, you're going to get, you know, your highs are going, everything's going to be louder anyways, but then giving it that little bit extra on the subwoofers really helped a lot as well. And it made for a much, much more engaging sound experience. So if you're having trouble with your HBO Max or streaming or something like that, this movie, check that out and see, play with it a little bit, because especially with streaming, it's not like you're getting the pure, you know, pure code that you would get from a disc. So I'm, as I said, when I'm talking Mandalorian, I have no problem tweaking stuff to get a better picture and sound when I'm streaming stuff. So that really helped a lot there. Sounded really good, made the experience that much better. And like I said to John, I still haven't had the opportunity to sit down with my son yet and watch it again, but I'm really looking forward to that. So hope you enjoyed that conversation. John and I always have a blast. I know a bunch of you guys do listen to both podcasts, so sorry if I'm boring you because I'm double dipping this week. But anyways, let's get on to quickly. Let's get through some listener comments. Let me say thank you to a new patron, Dean Matthews. And thank you so much, Dean. And he sent a message along. He said, "Hi, DJ. Just wanted to say thanks for the podcast. And as I said in an email to you a few weeks ago, it's a great way to relax after a manic set of shifts. Thought I'd put my money where my mouth is and become a patron while I'm heading into London for my night shifts. Keep up the great work." And I'll try, Dean. I really will try. But yeah, thank you so much. That actually puts us at 14. I lost a patron during the week too. So I gained one and I lost one. So I appreciate everybody. I understand what people drop off. I've actually dropped off some of mine accidentally, credit card numbers change and stuff like that. So, but I jump right back on. So, but no big deal. If I have no patrons, I'm fine. I love all 14 of you. I love all my listeners. Thank you very much. Thank you. You all support me in different ways. And some of you, I know some of you I haven't heard of yet. And that's fine too, because most of the stuff I listen to, people don't even know I exist. Unfortunately, the HD guys and the AV rant guys know I exist because I keep bothering them. But anyways, all right. Also on Twitter this week, we added a few more listeners, added following me on Twitter, Steve Gurney and Rob. So picked up a few more there. Thank you very much. Thanks for following along there. And as far as listener comments, we got a few this week. Let's get to those right now. And first up, we have Brian Fuller. Says, "At Brightside HT, my son recently got really into kaiju monsters, and we watched Godzilla versus King Kong and Godzilla King of the Monsters, and I wasn't expecting much, but I thought they were both really good. The visuals and sound were awesome. The story was above average summer blockbuster stuff." Couldn't agree more. I think I said that in my podcast. The sound in both of those movies is fantastic. You can't go wrong. I've talked about them here in the podcast. I did King of the Monsters in this podcast already. I haven't broken down Godzilla versus Kong yet, King Kong, but they really, really good. So thanks for that. Next up, Rob H. says, hey, congrats to your daughter and your future son-in-law on their happy engagement, DJ. He said, that's terrific news and the only, in capital letters, acceptable excuse for spending your money on something other than a home theater upgrade. Congratulations. And then he also said, we went back and forth, and yes, that is probably one of the few things that nobody's going to argue with you on that. But then he also said, congrats on the 100 episodes as well. He said, but I had to chuckle. He says, quote, he quoting me, he goes, I'd like to spend less time prepping and more time watching movies and actually doing the show. And then he says, oh, you sweet summer child. Ha ha ha. And it's like, yeah, I know. First world problems that I have to prep for my show that I don't have to do this, but all I meant by that, Rob, is that when I do break down a movie, it's like, I love to like watch a movie and then jump to the next movie and then do another movie. But when I break down a movie, I get to concentrate on that movie. And then it's like, but sometimes I get distracted. So it's like, hey, it is what it is. But that's all. First world problems, not complaining, just saying, hey, you know, sometimes whatever. I guess it is a complaint, but that's okay. You're on AV rant. That's all you guys do over there. You'd listen to your co-host? No, I'm just kidding. All right, moving along. G. Cornell and I had a great conversation through email about X-Files TV series, and he had just picked it up and asked me if I'd heard it, watched it, seen it, what I knew of it. And off the top of my head, I don't remember a lot, but what I do remember, and I believe it was Ara and I, even a year ago, talked about it a little bit, and that he liked it back in the 90s because it actually said Dolby Surround on it. I think that was Ara that I was talking to. So when you watch it on TV, it actually said presented in Dolby Surround sound. That was pretty cool. But I actually owned the laser discs of those episodes because of that, because it was one of those shows that actually came through with a really nice sound mix. And if you had a hi-fi VCR and you pumped your cable box through that, if you had the outputs and or put it into a receiver, you would get a good sound mix, a 5.1 sound mix from that show over the air. The broadcast, not over the air, but through cable or even dish later on. But that prompted me to buy some of the Laserdiscs to get the even cleaner sound. And it is a pretty good show for that, for a home theater environment. I haven't seen the show in a while. My wife and I watched it pretty much religiously in the 90s, but I've probably forgotten more than I remember about it. But if you're interested in the show, I think it might be worth a home theater watch because the experience for that show is pretty good. And Carl sent along a few emails regarding the new JVC projectors that are coming out, including an 8K laser projector. I read that and I kind of have a hunch that AV Rant will be talking about that this week because Rob loves himself some JVC projectors. And I think JVC is going to muddy the waters even more on how, like, do you go Sony or JVC? If you're on the fence, I think it's looking JVC. Even I have to say that with what I've been reading so far. So I can't wait to hear what the AV Rant guys have to say about the new JVC projectors that are coming out. And what I will say, though, as far as Sony goes, I love a great game. I love the competitiveness. JVC ups their game. Guess what? Sony's going to up their game. That's what makes it so much fun. And who knows? And look at me. I'm off the market right now. I can't buy anything. I can't justify that. So I get to sit back, watch. And then when I finally can, I will make a great informed decision. See how that works? See how nice that is? And we also got a couple of movies to talk about this week as suggestions. Thank you guys for that. I'm also getting a bunch of stuff regarding snacks. So I'm trying to put that stuff together. Maybe I'll do a whole podcast on snacks. So keep those coming. Keep the tweets and the emails coming about your favorite snacks. That's kind of fun. But anyways, our first one is Gattaca, and that comes to us from Steve George, and he says, this would be my recommendation. There are some really fun audio sequences in this, and it begins with an overhead effect. And he also tweeted out, just finished this movie. It was a first watch for him. An intriguing and enjoyable movie for sure. The 4K disc is very nice. Picture has grain, but it's natural looking. Colors, details, HDR, black levels are great. Love the Atmos track too. Bravo, Sony. Sony Bravo. Get it? I see what he did there. But yeah, Sony makes great, they produce great discs, so I had no doubt about that. I saw this movie years ago. I have it in 4K, haven't watched it yet. But yes, I mean, that sounds awesome where you have an overhead opening. That always gets us, all of us, right into that. But yeah, that looks like a lot of fun. So thanks, Steve, for that one. And we also have WV Brew with Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. He says, DTSX, audio nirvana. Explains why rational people put speakers in the ceiling. I have seen that movie. My buddy John and I, who you just heard, we did a whole podcast just regarding that movie. And yes, most of the Harry Potter, they're all in DTSX, but they all sound fantastic. I don't know if it's that one in particular. I forget them because I've seen them and they all blend together in my head. But there's one there that it rivals any. It has a fantastic scene where the light is traveling around the room. It was a magic thing. And it was like your overheads are engaged, your surrounds, everything. It's the entire room is just like everything's spinning sound wise. It was really, really cool. I think I referenced like lightsaber battles. It rivals any lightsaber battle from Star Wars that we've heard and visually too. But yeah, the Harry Potter series, home theater wise, if you like the Harry Potter universe, yeah, you can't go wrong with that DTS mix and DTSX mix. Really, really good. Really enjoyed. I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but I have to admit that I will, if somebody wants to watch the one, I will sit down and watch it because it is a blast to watch in a theater. All right, I'm going to wrap it up there for this week. Thank you to Dean for supporting me over on Patreon. If anybody wants to go and help and support me like Dean just did, you can go to Patreon /Brightside Homes Theater, patreon.com/Brightside Homes Theater, or just click on the red button on my website, brightsidehometheater.com. But keep those comments coming, Twitter, email. Thanks to all my followers on Twitter. Thanks to everybody. Thanks for listening. Hey, John, thanks for allowing me to double dip and use your voice in this podcast, buddy. But anyways, until next week, I will be back next week. I don't know what I'm doing yet. I have ideas, of course. But I will be back next week. I will be pushing play all week. And until then, I highly, highly recommend you go push play over and over. Have some fun. I'll see you next week. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.